But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And in the morrow, when he departed, took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. A reading from the Treatise of St. Ambrose on Cain and Abel. We should pray above all for the whole body of the Church. Offer a sacrifice of praise and pay your vows to the Most High. To praise God means to make your vow and fulfill it. That is why the Samaritan, another Samaritan, was cured of leprosy at Jesus' command, together with his 9 companions, is preferred to the others, because he was the only one that came back and returned to Christ, praising God and giving thanks. Jesus said to him, Was there none of them that come back and give thanks except this foreigner, Samaritan? And he told him, Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole. The Lord Jesus also taught you in his own wonderful ways about the goodness of the Father, who knows how to give good things, so that you should ask for good things from the one who is goodness itself. He told us to pray urgently and frequently. Not that our prayers should be tedious and endless, but they should be persevering and frequent. Generally speaking, long prayers are full of meaningless phrases, while on the other hand, total lack of interest is a result if prayers are given up altogether. Next, he warns you that when you ask pardon for yourself, it is then, above all, that you should remember to grant to others, that your prayer will be reinforced by your good works. The apostle also teaches that when you pray, you should not be angry or involved in a quarrel with anybody, so that your prayer will not be unsettled or spoiled. He also teaches us to pray everywhere, while our Savior says, Go into your room, privately. You must not think that he means by this a room with 4 walls separating you physically from others, but the room that is within you, where your thoughts are shut up, and the place that contains your feelings. This room of prayer is with you at all times. Wherever you go, it is a secret place, and what happens there is witnessed by God alone. But you are taught to pray above all for the people that is the whole body, for all the members of your Holy Mother, the Church, whose distinguishing mark is brotherly love. If you ask something for yourself, you will be praying only for yourself. And if everyone only prays for himself, then you must remember that the favor shown to a sinner is less than that granted to someone asking on behalf of another. But now, because each is praying for all, then all are praying for everyone. We can sum it up in this way. If you ask for something only for yourself, you will be asking for yourself, as we have said, on your own. But if you ask for everybody, then everybody will be asking for you. For you are in fact in all. The reward then is great, for the support of the whole people is gained for each individual by the prayers of each individual. There is no presumption in this point of view, only a sign of greater humility and prospect of richer benefits. St. Ambrose, Doctor, Father of Church, and an outstanding bishop. Just a personal note here. When I was discerning the call to be a priest, I was asked by the archbishop, Do you think you'll be a good priest? I said, The only reason I might be a good priest, first of all, if God wants me to be, that's the most important thing. But then I thought of St. Gregory and St. Ambrose, both of which are the two most outstanding people in the whole church. And they didn't want to take on the mantle. They didn't want to take on the pallium. But they did anyway, and look what they did. So I'm trusting God to use me in that sense, that I stood back for a long time, but here I am. So, going back to the Samaritan, remember, that's anybody that's outside the church. That's somebody who has not been given the gospel. That was each of us before we were baptized and grafted in the church. So this is sort of an allegory to Christ himself. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He dressed his wounds, as Christ dresses our wounds, of sin. Leprosy was a representation of sin. He took out 2 pence, that was his Christ's life, and gave them to the host, the church. This is the church's charge. Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come back, I will repay thee. That's when Christ comes back to take the church home. A model of the church, a model of what I'm supposed to do, what we're all supposed to do, going back to the beginning of this parable. A priest and a Levite saw him, the wounded man, and went on the other side. So maybe they were going off the temple, or maybe it's me. I'm supposed to go to church, but I'm going to miss church if I help this guy. There is a hard decision you have to make. I had a dream last night, I guess thinking about 9/11, that I was somewhere and there was this enclosed reservoir, and I heard this plane coming. And I thought it was doing some antics. And then I saw the plane crash into the reservoir. I scaled the fence. I went over to him. He's still alive. I got him out of the cockpit. And I thought, you know what? If that ever happens to me, I hope I do that. And I think that's a message to all of us. If we see somebody in peril, that we'll just do things we didn't think we could do. You know, when we are slow of speech, God says the Holy Ghost will give you utterance. You'll know what to say or to do at that point when you need to do it. So let us be like the Samaritan, like I had in that dream. I was that good Samaritan that took care of this person. Probably saved his life, got help. Even though I might have been off, I don't know where I was going in this dream. But it probably had something to do with thinking about 9/11. So, in closing, we can have just a moment of silence when yourselves about any of us who might have known somebody that was affected by the events of 9/11. 21 years ago, but in many places, the hurt is still there. That emptiness of one that should be here is no longer here. So I ask us all to spend a moment of silence reflecting on that. If something affected you by this, or for somebody you might know, and I ask this if we do this in silence. And I close with these words. Which now of thee, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.